I mean, for me, the big thing is the way that we measure and count the system now, the way we count how we get student completions and only get funding when they do complete, and right down to kind of the, you know, tiniest percentage is the reason behind it. So if the government actually relaxed the rules a bit and gave a bit of trust back to the institutions and gave them some stability of funding, that I don't think you'd see this behaviour as much. It's a reaction to how we can't measure things, what we reward.
And I think there's a design flaw with the private training establishment model, in that large public institutions trade on their reputation. They're around for decades and decades, and so they need to make sure that they have good connections to the community, that they have a reputation that stacks up over a long period of time. If you're a small PTE and you just floated yourself on the stock exchange, well, your incentive is to make a short-term profit.
The introduction of the EPI, so the educational performance indicators, which said you have to have 80% of your students completing, you know, your courses, is the reason why. Those are really new measures, and we've never measured that before. I mean, from an educator's perspective, some years, you know, you might have 90% of your students pass your course because 90% of students do the work and deserve to pass. Some years, the same course, same teaching, same teachers, same everything, and only 60% pass. So right from what I would call really low-level fraud, where we're basically allowing students to sit, resit, 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 resit until they pass, which, of course, students should be given an opportunity to resit exams if they fail or they can't sit for a genuine reason. But this is about just getting people through by the skin of their teeth, through these much more overt measures where institutions basically pass students who weren't even there.
Yeah, I'm a fan of some of the EPIs. I think they've actually driven a bit of real change and good change, particularly around Māori and Pacific students.
Yeah.
So since they came in, you've seen institutions actually invest in their Māori and Pacific mentoring programs, reach out to those communities, want to attract, retain, you know, make sure the support's in place for those people to be able to stay in tertiary education and complete their courses. So that's been good. But you also get the sense that it's for the wrong reasons. They're not doing it because they have an ideological or pedagogical commitment to seeing Māori and Pacific succeed. It's because the minister says so. What happens when the minister decides that Māori and Pacific completion and retention is no longer a priority? The institution's going to stop doing that. So I'm concerned that commitment is only skin deep. And for years, we've had students saying, tutors coming forward and saying there's a lot of pressure to pass people, there's a lot of pressure to get those completion and retention rates up. And my concern is that in the tertiary system, there is no longer anybody whose role it is to guard the quality of tertiary education. So there's no one who sits around the table and says, no, we're not going to introduce that crappy masters because that's an affront to quality tertiary education. No, we're not going to chase those international students and build an entire program around them at the expense of domestic students or whatever.
I think individual staff do try to guard against pressure to just pass for the sake of passing, to avoid these types of kind of behaviours. But the pressure comes on them so immensely, you know. So they send away their results for their course, and someone from an administrative office at the centre of the university sends back a note saying, "Please explain," and you haven't got enough people in certain categories.
Yeah, just in terms of that pressure on staff, I think it's huge. It's immense. I've heard recently of a case of a very high-ranking member of management at a university in the South Island, I won't say which one, who developed their own criteria for going into the system and changing marks after everything was signed off. And I think when institutions have their back against the wall like that, people get desperate.
Yeah.
People do things that you wouldn't expect. And I think that, you know, mum and dad sitting at home sending their kids away to a destination university or whatever, don't expect, I think, that quality of education to be reduced in such ways, which are not only kind of unethical, but if from a consumer point of view, it's really devaluing the quality of the people who put in the hard work.
If I could sit across from the minister and say to him, you're putting pressure through your mechanisms down onto individual mechanics who work in workshops at our polytechnics to pass students who are learning to be, you know, mechanics. Do you want a kid who really shouldn't have passed his course the first time round to come and work on your car in the garage at Parliament. Really, do you really want that? Or do you want people who genuinely have got the skills? You know, it'd be interesting to see what he said. But it is that thing of, I don't know that the minister knows that his targets actually do put this downward pressure, and I don't know that he appreciates. I think some of the officials at the TEC, at the Tertiary Education Commission, understand it, but I don't think the minister understands that his targets are somewhat arbitrary. And having a range of measures to say how quality is going is a good thing, but don't take them so seriously that you then put funding against those targets. And that's actually, I mean, it's the same when you talk about the performance-based research fund, is that the educational performance indicators. As soon as you attach money to it, everybody finds the shortcut, because they all need to be financially sustainable long-term. And I think the fact that the fraud is coming out in small PTEs and very small polytechnics who are under huge strain financially shows they're the cutting edge where it's really, you know, where it really is biting at the moment. But at some point, we're going to see it across the board. And we are seeing the pressures across the board into our universities. You know, a university not too far from Wellington that has a bell curve that they mark against. That went out with the ARC. You know, you don't do that to your students, but that's all about making sure the right numbers get through to the next level. That's not good teaching and learning.
I think in all of this, there's a really big question for the National Party. The National Party that, you know, opposed all of the KiwiSport elements of NCEA when it came in. They didn't believe that people should, a large number of people should simply pass, that it should be hard, that at the maximum, you know, half the people should be getting through with pass marks. And now we're in a situation where in the compulsory and the tertiary sector, you have ministers asking, that every year an increasing number of people pass and complete these courses, which I just find is so interesting that the National Party has done a complete 180 on their vision of education, that it was supposed to be about drafting people into those that were capable for certain things. And now we're in a place where you get a degree and you get a degree and you get a degree. Everyone gets a degree.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And I think surely they must have deep reservations about the false economy when, you know, what happens when we get up towards 98% of people completing.
Well, there's that thing of continuous improvement. Where does it stop? I mean, I think 85% is quite high, you know, given, you know, that I know in my first year classes about, and in first year classes there's some leeway, about 70% of students would get through in a first year course, and that's kind of what I expect to happen. You know, I don't expect it to be much higher, but at one point is it going to be, you have to get 100% of them through by any means possible, you know, and you know, short of standing over them and writing their examinations. But it also drives an expectation from students. And I mean, you'd hear this, but I have students turn up in my office, and I know my colleagues do around the country, who go, but I am worthy of a pass. Because it drives this expectation that they've turned up, therefore they get a pass.
And because you put money to it.
Yeah.
If people are paying $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 a year, they expect, I've talked to them. They're much more likely to challenge grades when they have higher fees, or they're aware of their fees, they talk about their fees.
Yeah.
They're much more likely to speak up and to question that, because they think that they are deserving of it. And I think we're seeing that right across the tertiary sector, this sense of entitlement that is coming through amongst some students. And that's a really sad thing, because it's a wonderful privilege to live in a country where you do have tertiary education that's at least 70% free. But that 30%, I think, is driving people to demand these things. And so if you are a small PTE, who is saying no?
Yeah.
Who is saying no? Is it the people making the profit?
Mm.
Is it the students demanding that they get something worthy? And a lot of these courses are very bad courses.
Is it the staff member on the temporary contract who knows that if they don't say yes to what the boss wants, they won't get another contract, so they pass students to please the employer? I mean, you're right, there's a whole lot of pressures in there that explain it. And so we have to go back to the fundamentals and to the political parties who designed the system.
Absolutely. And Labor's got some big decisions to make in the next few years about whether they're willing to accept this level of systemic rorting. And it is the system, right? They have to get in there, they have to change things, they have to stand up to the PTEs. And as of yet, I'm not sure whether they're up to it.